Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast. I'm in London at Innovation Forum's Sustainable Landscape Conference 2018, and I'm with Kate Clancy, Sustainability Manager at Cargo, Cocoa and Chocolate. Welcome to the podcast, Kate.
Thanks so much, Ian. Very happy to be here.
We're talking earlier around the sustained viability of smallholders as a business model. So I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit around what sustainable smallholder model looks like for your business's supply chain.
Well, first of all, for those who don't know, Cargill, we're an organization with 155,000 employees in 70 countries. And the purpose of Cargill is very much to nourish the world in a safe, responsible and sustainable way. And I work within Cargo, Cocoa and Chocolate, which is one of Cargill's global groups. And I think what's really interesting about the scale of Cargill and the breadth we do is that all the decisions that we take with regards to sustainability are going to have consequences for all the stakeholders in the value chain. From the farmers who rely on a consistent crop income, healthy soil, to our customers, the brand owners who aim to have a fully transparent supply chain, but also cost-efficient goods, and also to the planet on which we all rely. Within Cargo, Cocoa and Chocolate, we certainly believe that improving the lives of cocoa farmers goes hand in hand with our business success and that of the success of the sector as a whole. And I think this very much is the vision that underpins our program, the Cargo Cocoa Promise. It also underpins the commitments that we've made or the five goals that we've set for 2030 to increase cocoa sustainability. And these are very much in line with the sustainable development goals, farmer livelihoods, community well-being, and protecting our planet, consumer confidence and transformation together. But you asked me actually about what makes a viable smallholder farmer. And I think that's really where I become very real and can define myself as a realist, because indeed, the typical smallholder farmer, just to paint a picture, is actually someone who is around 40 years. He's living in Côte d'Ivoire, where 40% of the world's cocoa comes from. He is living in a country where the fourth of the population is under 20. He lives on less than $2 a day. He farms about 3 hectares of land, which he doesn't own. And usually he's supporting around 7 people. And the family farm, although it grows maybe 4 or 5 different crops, most of the income actually comes from cocoa. And I think that's very important to keep in mind when we talk about what is a sustainable smallholder farmer, because indeed the cocoa farmer themselves, having such a dependency on cocoa, are incredibly vulnerable. They're vulnerable in the sense that they can be impacted by any sorts of things that may affect their productivity, such as unfavorable weather, crop diseases, and ultimately that will impact the profitability of their farm. So when you're asking what we can do or what we see as being a sustainable smallholder farmer, I think it's really focusing on how we could work with farmers to increase their resilience, build capabilities, provide them with access to resources that is actually going to help them be less vulnerable, I would say, in the face of any negative fluctuations so that they can actually maximize benefits when times are good. So what we're doing is really working to improve skills and knowledge to help farmers run their farms as profitable businesses. And I think the other thing to keep in mind is income diversification. So that being not only from cocoa, but also looking at what other types of income can be in the household. And that may be farm income, off-farm income. It may even be income from other members of the household. So we're working a lot with women, supporting them having access to finance through village savings and loans associations, and being able to access trainings themselves so that they can generate income.
What about price volatility? This is something that came up in our session. What can business do to really make sure that the fluctuations in the commodities that we all know, or that we all know happen, what can you do to ensure that they then don't impact as negatively on the most vulnerable people in the value chain?
Well, it's a very good question. And I think what we are doing, and I think a number of companies are doing in the cocoa sector, is really trying to strengthen the profitability of the cocoa farm. Right? And work with farmers on farming methods and diversification so that their incomes could be boosted. One of the things that farmers receive is sustainability premium payments. So farmers actually, if they sell us sustainable certified or verified sustainable cocoa on top of the base price for the cocoa beans, they also receive a premium. So that's something that we know that farmers are using actually to offset additional expenses that they may have. We know that also we're investing in a number of programs that are really targeted at helping the farmer themselves improve their profitability. And I think basically we're trying to expand the markets for cocoa. I mean, for us, if we actually have an outlet, and that will give the farmer more opportunity to sell the cocoa through the improvements that they're having on their land in terms of productivity and give them ultimately more income from cocoa. But of course, we believe that also diversification and income diversification actually has a role. So agroforestry systems, intercropping, for example, and the income generating activities I mentioned earlier for all household members will also play a role.
What about long-term contracts?
We don't actually contract directly with smallholder farmers. So Cargill actually has contractual agreements with farmer organizations. Actually, I'm glad you brought it up because it's really by strengthening those supply chain actors that you can help smallholder farmers. So what we as Cargill do is have relationships with cocoa cooperatives who then buy cocoa for members. And with them, we actually have forward contracts. So we do indeed, let's say, de-risk for the smallholder farmer of having a place to offtake his cocoa because we already commit to buying a certain amount of cocoa, conventional and sustainable, from the cocoa cooperative. So absolutely, contractual conditions with the contracting partner could play a role.
There've been a lot of incentives around the cocoa sector the last few years. Cargill have got your program, Mondelez have got their program, and then everyone came together in the Cocoa in the Forest initiative, including the governments of Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire last year, which is well regarded a true multi-stakeholder initiative. But how do farmers then engage with all these different things going on? I mean, is there not a risk that they're a risk of confusion, perhaps?
It's a fantastic achievement, isn't it, really, to have such sort of initiatives taking place in the cocoa sector. I think it's a really remarkable sign of the sector's maturity when it comes to sustainability. I think, yes, companies have their own programs. Those programs predate a lot of these sectorial initiatives. Those programs are very much a vehicle for the company to speak to a lot of their own, let's say, commitments. But those programs are very complementary to what we're doing together as an industry, because I think the work we're doing together with a number of stakeholders really ensures that there's a clear process in place for all different stakeholders who are part of that process to contribute and to deliver on their actions. I think it allows us to align under a few set of core interventions that we're going to be working on. And frankly, it allows us to share and share learnings of what's working, what's not working, and ensuring that there is shared responsibility, because something like ending deforestation, as you very well know, is not something the private sector can achieve alone. And so we do need a number of actors around at the table. And ultimately, having some level of consistency and ensuring that we're working with the government actors to also address where they need to play a role will allow the farmers themselves to benefit, because they'll have more clarity on, for example, what are the forest areas where they can and cannot go. And there will be programs and initiatives, like was mentioned in some of the earlier sessions, such as payment for ecosystem services. Systems will be set up, and those need to run also through the national governments.
Yeah. Coming back to your point around the kind of typical smallholder farmer, are you seeing younger members of the farmer families now feeling that running the family farm is a viable business for them?
I would like to say that they will. Today, we still see the typical farmer as being fairly aged, and indeed, we see young people looking to alternative livelihoods. However, we have had some initial success in looking at how we can involve youth in providing agri-services. So there are, let's say, vocational trainings and educational opportunities for youth to maybe not necessarily have them involved only in cocoa farming, but actually in providing services to the cocoa farmers. And that could be a way for them to stay, let's say, in the cocoa growing community and really to ensure that there is a level of rural economic development.
Sure. Well, there certainly is a lot that business can do to help ensure sustained viability of smaller business models. And thanks so much, Kate, for taking us through some of them. And also thank you for your support of the conference. You're a sponsor of ours. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much indeed.
Thank you so much, Ian. It's a great conference. I think the diversity of stakeholders you have and the candor of the topics being discussed is really relevant for all of us.
Kate Clancy, thanks very much.
Cheers.